Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to see you. For those of you who I haven't met yet, my name's Greg Harris, and I'm part of the ministry team here in this church, in this parish. And can I just say before we go much further, I just want to say thank you so much. You might have noticed that we've got an international helper with our singing this morning, Paul. I just want to say thank you to Paul and to Amy and to their family. You may not know, they're only here for 12 months. Unfortunately, they're only here for 12 months. I think they should really stay, but they're not allowed to because of the swap program. But I was just thinking, you know, it would be so easy for them to... You could just sit and just bludge. I don't know if that's a Canadian word. It's definitely an Australian word. We're very good at it. You could just sit and bludge for 12 months, but through music, through morning tea, and through many other different ways, they minister to us. What an encouragement to us that they want to be part of us and share with us and minister to us. So thank you so much. May God continue to bless you in your time here in Australia and also when you go back home to Canada. And if you ever need sponsorship to come out to Australia, just let me know. We'll work that out. Why don't I pray before we look at God's Word? Father, we thank you for your Word, and we thank you that it speaks so clearly to us. And Lord, we ask that you would take these words now, that we would, through your Spirit, open our lives before them. And may you bring about your good purposes. And this we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Some of you may find this very hard to believe, but up until about 2 weeks ago, I had never seen Les Miserables. Never. I know those of you who are cultured amongst us cannot believe that I can be so uncultured to have never seen Les Mis. Never even read that. Never even know what the story was about. I knew it had something to do with the French. I think the name gave that bit away. But up until 2 weeks ago, I had never seen it, never knew what the story was about. Some 2 weeks ago, I saw the musical performed by Gerton here in town, which I have to say, you can say that when you're part of Gerton and such like that, very impressive. Like, how do you take on what is considered to be the best musical ever? And such a tricky musical too in terms of voice and acting and all that. One of the things about Les Mis is there's lots of subplots. Now I know this now. Lots of subplots going through the musical. One of those subplots continues to, in a sense, resonate with me, haunt me even. There's a number of them, but it's particularly this one. The subplot or theme of mercy. Mercy. Or the flip side of it is legalism as well. Throughout the musical. There's a number of themes or subplots going through, but it's that one particularly which seems to resonate with me and seems to haunt me. The two main characters, Jean Valjean and Inspector Javert, continue to have this theme or idea of mercy between them, or legalism on the other side. Now, for those of you who, like I once was, were uncultured and have never seen or never heard or never read the story or the musical, the book of Les Miserables. Let me give it to you very briefly so you understand it. Jean Valjean is one of the main characters. He steals some bread in order to feed his sister's child. He's caught and serves 19 long winters in jail for it. He's paroled, but he breaks parole. And then he's taken in by a bishop. But during the night, he steals the silver plates, the silver cutlery of the bishop. He runs off in the morning and is caught. He's brought back to the bishop by the police, and the bishop shows mercy. In fact, the bishop even says, "My friend, did you not forget? I gave you these silver candlesticks as well." And then, later on, when the police have left, speaks to Jean Valjean about mercy and about God. And it changes Jean Valjean from that point on. From that point on, mercy flows through his life. The mercy that was shown to him changes him, and he becomes a merciful person. In fact, throughout the book, throughout the play, the musical, he shows mercy to several characters, one of which is Inspector Chevert, who is the one who chases him all over France through the decades, wanting to put him back into prison. And he shows mercy to him. When he should have been shot as a spy, he releases him. And towards the end, the two characters, Chevert and Jean Valjean, are singing to each other, and Jean Valjean, again, is showing mercy to someone. And Inspector Chevert sings these words: "The man of mercy comes again. The man of mercy comes again." And it was those words that struck me. It's those words that haunt me. It's those words that resonate with me. This idea of the man of mercy coming again. Why is it that those words resonate with me? Well, I think it's because when I consider our great living God, he is a God of mercy. Mercy is integral to who God is and how he acts. The James passage that we had read for us just a few moments ago. James writes to the church, to those who are followers of Jesus, and the context is that he rebukes them for showing favoritism. He says, if you have a party, a banquet, do not show favoritism. If someone comes along and dressed in their fine regalia with a ring on their finger and you say, please sit here at the head of the table, but another comes who is in shabby clothes, maybe has no shoes on their feet or whatever, and you say, oh, you sit at my feet or sit over, go and stand over there in the corner or whatever, do not show favoritism. And in fact, James equates, and I find this amazing, James equates mercy with favoritism. And in fact says, right at the end in the passage, in verse 13, this is what he says: judgment without mercy will be shown to those who have not shown mercy. Did you hear that? Judgment without mercy will be shown to those who do not show mercy. Mercy and favoritism. And mercy has been shown to those Christians that James wrote to some 2,000 years ago. And mercy has been shown to us through Christ. It's the same with this story from the Gospel of Matthew. Have a look with me, Matthew chapter 9. And look at the mercy that is shown here. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. Did you see it? Did you see the mercy? So it's a little subtle. You need to understand the context here, but the context is pretty well given away in the next couple of verses. Have a look, verse 10. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with the tax collectors and the sinners? Matthew is shown mercy when Jesus says to him, follow me, follow me. Now, you need to understand, Matthew is a thieving traitor, to put it nicely. Okay, that's putting it nicely because you're nice people and, you know, I want to sort of keep that sort of context. Matthew is a thieving traitor. He's a traitor because he works for the occupying forces, for the Romans. That doesn't go down well nowadays, let alone some 2,000 years ago, does it? Working for the occupying forces. He collects taxes for the Romans. But not only does he work for the occupying forces, but he also extorts from his own people. He steals from them because the Romans want so much, but if he can get just a little bit extra, well, he can pocket that bit. And so Matthew is a thieving traitor. He's a sinner, as it were, according to the Pharisees. The Pharisees, on the other hand, are the so-called law-abiding, highly legalistic religious leaders. To them, Matthew deserves no mercy. No mercy at all. But to Matthew, Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. The Holy One of God. The Son of God. The perfect one, the Alpha and the Omega, says to the thieving traitor, follow me. And in just the same way that Javert can't handle the mercy that Jean Valjean now shows to everybody, the Pharisees can't handle the mercy that Jesus shows to Matthew. And to the rest that he has dinner with that night. In fact, the Gospel of Matthew was a musical, it would be the Pharisees who now sing, "The Man of Mercy Comes Again." And we know that Jesus is a man of mercy because of what he says in the rest of the passage there. On hearing this, verse 12, on hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." That's a quote from the book of Hosea. And if you read the book of Hosea, you see that basically what God requires is not hypocrisy, is not unfaithfulness, but rather mercy. He is a God of mercy and he requires mercy of his own people. And if that's not obvious enough, look at the rest of that verse. "For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners," Jesus says. God shows mercy. Matthew realizes that he is one who needs mercy. He realizes that he is one who is sick. Literally, sick to death. And Christ offers healing by saying, follow me. It's good to remember that the story of Matthew is my story. It's your story. The story of Matthew. The story of those who are far from God being shown mercy. Those who were literally sick to death, a doctor coming and bringing eternal life. Jesus who dies in our place. Jesus who rises again. Jesus who sends his Spirit to dwell in us and lead us and equip us. The man of mercy who came to us. If you are a believer, if you are a follower of Jesus, do you realize that you have been shown mercy beyond measure, beyond comparison, beyond being able to fathom? You have been shown mercy by the man of mercy, the ultimate man of mercy. Do you know that? Do you recognize that? And if your answer is yes, then my follow-up question is this: what will you do about that? Because mercy has been shown to us. And so therefore we must show mercy also. Remember the rebuke of James that we had read for us? Let us not be like one of the ones that James has to rebuke. Let us not be like the Pharisees who look down on our noses. Rather, mercy has been shown to us. So let us also show mercy. If you've been part of this parish for any length of time, I talk about what I believe the DNA of our church, of our parish needs to be, what it is that we're on about. And I summarise it by using four W's. And if you can't remember what those four W's are, I just keep saying them again and again until everyone remembers. They are welcome, worship, word, witness. Because God is a God who welcomes. That's an element of mercy. God is a God who is to be worshipped. God is a God who gives us his word. And God is a God to whom we need to be witnessing to. He is that great. And particularly that last idea of witness. We are to be witnesses to the mercy that has been shown to us. Witnesses to the mercy shown to us. It starts here. It starts amongst ourselves. Do you show mercy? What about when someone forgets to say hello one morning? Someone doesn't do something right, or someone plays an instrument too loud, or someone's child makes too much noise, or I don't care what it is. Do we show mercy? Because mercy has been shown to us, so do we show mercy to each other, to our brothers and sisters in Christ? We must. Friends, there's no ifs, there's no buts, there's no excuses. Mercy has been shown to us, therefore, show mercy. But it's not just here. What about out there? Do we show mercy? How can we show mercy? Oh, let me count the ways. Let me count the ways. Let me just give you some examples of some things that I thought of. As a church, some of you may know this, some of you may not, so it's good for us all to hear. We have a group called the Out and About Group, or the Out and About Team. Do you know what they do? They go out and about. Not just randomly anywhere. They go to nursing homes. We have a group that go to nursing homes. And what they do is, they go to a nursing home and we run a service there. And I go and some other people go and we speak and we take communion. Do you know why we go? Because they can't come here anymore. Because they're at a point where their age and their health doesn't allow them to come and join together. So we go to them. That's mercy. That's mercy. Do you know that there are people each week who make toasted cheese sandwiches and Milo? They're part of the Brekkie Club. And they don't just make them randomly, they make them for the students up at BSE. For those students who, for whatever reasons, don't get breakfast. So they make toasted cheese sandwiches and Milo. That's mercy. There's a group started at Christchurch, one of our branch churches. It's called the sort of neighbourhood fellowship group. And they want to start a monthly time where those who are lonely in that area can just come, just drop in. It's mainly aged at the older people in that area, but that's being merciful. Just providing a place and a time. You may notice that we have a number of facilities that are very child-friendly. And there are playgroups that run during the week, particularly on a Tuesday morning. And we've never advertised it, but that group is full already, just from mums here and other mums and that have heard about it. But it's so full that if we were to advertise it and provide a place for mums and dads to come, that would be even more merciful, wouldn't it? But you know what we require? We require others to be merciful and to say, you know what, I can commit to coming and helping because we don't have enough people to help run it. That would be merciful. There's some of us who are starting to think about the idea of a community garden. Some of you may know about these things, but as an opportunity to be merciful in our community. It's in its early stages. We're just still thinking about it and praying about it. If that's something that interests you, guess what? We're going to have a sort of a thinking, planning type meeting next Sunday. So come and see me if you want to know more about that. But that's an opportunity to be merciful. My life group, my small group, my Bible study group, I've been challenging them, so it's great being in my group, you get challenged on a Wednesday night to say, hey, how can we as a group show mercy? What's a project or something that we can do that shows mercy? Wouldn't it be incredible if every small group, every Bible study group in this church said, you know what, we're going to find something that we can do in our community that shows mercy. Wow. Imagine that. So those of you who are in a small group, in a Bible study group, guess what? I'm going to keep challenging the leaders of those groups to think about that. But they're actually all opportunities that our church or our parish runs, aren't they? But it doesn't have to be parish-based. You've been shown mercy, show mercy. There are so many opportunities. The other week when we had Father's Day, the speaker that the blokes had, he actually asked us a question. He said, what communities have you been planted in? And around the room we just shouted out all the different groups that we had connections to. The schools, the university, the gym, sports clubs, our work environments, wherever they might be. Neighbourhood centres. That was just the blokes. Think about it. If we all shouted out now, all the different connections, communities that we have been planted in by God. Friends, show mercy in them. To the abused, to the dispossessed, to the poor, to the refugee, to the homeless, to the overwhelmed, to the whoever. I still find the words of Les Mis extremely haunting. The man of mercy comes again. Let us never forget that the original man of mercy has come. The ultimate man of mercy has come and shown mercy to us in dying for us, in rising for us, in giving us eternal life. And what does he require of us? Show mercy. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. How sweet it would be if the whole world was a musical. Some of you are thinking, I can't sing. That's not the point. But how sweet it would be if the world was a musical and they sang about us, the man of mercy, comes again. The woman of mercy comes again. The church of mercy comes again. May it always be. Let me pray for us. We're going to be praying about that and other things that it's important for us to be praying about. So let's come before our great God in prayer. And Lord, we come before you now. And we stop to remember that you are a God who is merciful. And Lord, you are aware of the things that have characterized our life this week, the things that we've said and the things that we've done and the things that we've thought, in which we have not been merciful at all, in which we have shown favoritism, in which we have looked down our noses. And Father, we call upon your mercy. And we ask that you would forgive us and strengthen us to live for you. Lord, mercy beyond all measure has been shown to us. Let us be people who show mercy. Father, we pray for our small groups, our life groups. May they be places where we never run out of ideas of how we can show mercy to the communities in which you have planted us. Lord, we pray about this idea of a community garden. And we ask, Lord, that if that be your will, that that be an opportunity to show mercy. We pray for the opportunities that we have to be a blessing and merciful to our communities in terms of playgroups and visiting nursing homes and others. And Lord, we ask that you would raise up people to show mercy. Lord, we pray that you would help us to show mercy to each other. And Father, we come before you because you are a merciful God, and we ask that you would show mercy in this world and bring peace to the broken and divided world in which we live. Lord, there is like an endless list of nations suffering, strife and turmoil and natural disasters. Lord, we're mindful of the Middle East, particularly of Syria at the moment. It's some 12 months and it continues unabated. Father, we're also mindful of the protests developing all over the world now because of that video. And we ask in your mercy, Lord, that you would bring peace. Father, we are mindful of Niger, Costa Rica, China, dealing with floods and earthquakes. Father, we ask that you would prepare and equip and empower the leaders of those nations and the emergency services to deal with those disasters. Father, we pray for our church as we are a church that holds a very high priority on mission, and we particularly pray for ABM during this month. And we also pray as we prepare our shoeboxes for Operation Christmas Child, that we would be merciful. Father, we pray also for the society in which we live, and we're mindful, Lord, of a lot of cutbacks in education. And we ask, Lord, that you would give wisdom to our leaders and that there would be a right balance. And Father, we pray for those known to us who are not well or who are in great need. We continue to pray for David Stewart and Morris Shatford, for Marg Nolan and Rob Edwards, Betty Dewhurst, for Merle Cole, for Jack Cochran, for Tracy Chittenden and Muriel Wilson. And Lord, we also pray for John Steele this week. And Father, we give you great thanks for the gift of life. And we so thank you for the life of Geordie Barker. Equip and strengthen her parents and her family. May she grow up to be a mighty woman of God. Father, you are a merciful God. We ask that you would empower, equip us to be witnesses to that mercy. For mercy has been shown to us. Lord, we long to be men, women, a church of mercy for your glory and for your kingdom. And we ask all this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.